Good morning, Emmanuel, and welcome to our service this morning during our second COVID-19 lockdown. A warm welcome to our visitors worshipping with us today, especially if this is the first time at Emmanuel. Do please make yourself known to us afterwards. Now, I think Liz has opened up the tradecraft stall in the atrium at the back of the church. Please approach this through the car park, please. Welcome also to anyone listening to this service later in the week through our recorded ministry. We hope it helps you to feel part of our fellowship. Our service today is led by Robert, thank you, and the music will be by Jeff. He will be giving us live music at different parts of the service. The notices are all in Weekly News, but I'd just like to emphasise the one that you'll find on the first page under sharing information. After the service ends, could you please sit and stay for about 5 minutes, as we would like to keep you up to date with some of the recent decisions taken by elders. Thank you. I will now light the candle representing Jesus, the light of the world, after which we will have a few moments of quiet as we prepare for worship.
Good morning to all of you, and welcome to our service this morning. The third Sunday of the month of July. And we gather to celebrate the love God has for us, for recognizing God's presence in the life of the world. Words from Psalm 23. For you, Lord, are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. While these words can be our personal statement, because what Psalm 23 represents to so many people in the world, we become the community of those who recognize that the Lord will comfort us. If you are able to stand for the hymns, please do. If you aren't or prefer not to, that's perfectly all right. Though the first hymn does say, stand up and bless the Lord, don't feel that you have to. God is an understanding God, and he won't be too upset. Stand up and bless the Lord, ye people of his choice.
Oh,
That was a bit more rush than we're used to, isn't it? A little bit. There we are, yes. And on this summer weekend, may it not be the last one of this summer, we turn to God with our prayers. And I'd invite you to end the prayers all together with the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. When we say that you are creator, it's not only a mechanical action. It's the love that forms, gives shape, sees each creature as a particular, with talents, with abilities, with capacities. Nature in all its splendor, birds and the fish, and every mammal that roams the earth. Oh Lord, creating is more than just putting on the place to live. It's much more than that. And we recognize you as the loving and caring creator. You gave us the sun for a light by day, and the moon and the stars and their courses for a light by night. And yet, without darkness, we would never recognize what light is. In our lives, we rejoice in hope, but recognize that there is also despair. We have laughed and continue to laugh, and there are moments of tears. We want to love and be loved. But we also recognize that we are surrounded by indifference. And on this path of life, all this comes together. And sometimes we have answers and sometimes we have questions. But we turn to you. We thank you that you have given us the gift of life, the gift of being able to recognize that life and that gift in those around us. We thank you for all that makes us feel happier, for good books, good music, talents and abilities, people there who say the right word at the right time, and people who sometimes don't know what to say, and in their silence communicate an intense love. And you have put all these situations on our life path, and we are part of that encounter of life for which we are grateful. For all that makes a difference, and by which we can make a difference in the life of others. We praise your name for this place, for this time, for those we love and think of. And we pray and recognize that often we get caught up with despair and don't recognize hope. The darkness seems to take over, and often we put the light out. That sometimes indifference is easier than love. For the times that we truly have messed life up for ourselves and for others, for what has pained you, pained others, pained the world, and pained our own life, because that is not what you want for us and from us. So we come to you with our questions and our doubts, with our mistakes, and ask, dear God, in your love, forgive us. transform us. Allow us to be what you see in us, what you have given us, that we may grow and multiply in shared understanding and be made new. In the love we find in Jesus and through the power of the Holy Spirit that will never give up on us, we turn to you as our Father. And as your children, we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our reading this morning from Paul's letter to the Ephesians.
The Bible reading is from Ephesians 2, verses 11 to 22. So then, remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcision by those who are called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at the time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Jesus Christ, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh, he has made both groups into one and broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances, so that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For though through him both of us have access to one Spirit, to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Eddie, very much for leading us in the reading. Dear God, help us to understand that through Christ we are no longer what was and have now become something new, that this may continue in our lives and in the world today. Amen. Paul is never an easy chap to follow. He goes on and on and on. And in the original, you sometimes have to take a deep breath because he doesn't put a comma, he doesn't put a full stop, and he doesn't put a semicolon. And he goes on and on and on. Ephesians is an interesting letter. And if you want to go through it, and I would suggest that possibly you go through that reading again when you get home to try and grasp all it says. The interesting thing of Ephesians in chapter 1, it's a vertical relationship. It's humanity and God. Chapter 2 is a horizontal relationship. It's us together. I can't remember in my ministry how many times I referred to the dichotomy of us and them. But you can probably guess that about 20-30% of my reflections over the years have been based on that reality. And how from us and them, we need to create the reality of us, of we. No longer one side or the other. And that is what he talks about here. It's what I would call one of my mantras. And one that has given me a deep sense in growth in my faith journey. In the reading today, Paul is talking about something like this in his own understanding. He mentions those who were near and those who were far away. Those who were uncircumcised and those who were circumcised. That is absolute separation. Those who weren't part of and those who were part of. And then he includes the great word, but. And whenever Paul starts a sentence with the word but, you know that things will no longer be the same. And in the midst of that, he says, but now, those who were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. We live in a world which thrives on division. The different, the not like us, the them. And we are called to recognize that in our faith, we are called to belong to something new. No longer can we uphold those parameters. Something that is inclusive, accepting, loving, recognizing differences. And if you got the newsletter through the email this Sunday, you'll see something that you can't pick up that clearly in the photocopied version, but is the praying hands. The diversity of the colors, two praying hands that cover all the differences that we can imagine and more. We thank God that we are part of that new creation in Christ, who has made two one, making peace and bringing reconciliation. What a surprise this reading must have been to those brought up in the Jewish faith, where being circumcised was the mark. And Paul is now saying, what's going to happen? The uncircumcised are part of it. And how it is still so absolutely relevant in the world today. Because what Paul has just written, what Eddie just read for us, goes against so much of the world in which we are living. To those who questioned taking the knee and what BLM, Black Lives Matter, meant, what happened in the match and after the match last Sunday makes it absolutely crystal clear that those were not empty gestures, but rather calls to a much needed change in our society. We may not like it, it may upset us, it may challenge us. But you know what? That's good. If the Bible doesn't challenge us, if the Bible doesn't ask us to think what is wrong and what is right, what needs to change, it's a waste of time. Quite a few years ago, I was attending an executive committee of the World Communion, or what it was then, the World Alliance of Reformed Churches in Tondano, North Sulawesi. I was invited to preach in a small church that was called Emmanuel. And the way you recognized the preacher when it was somebody who wasn't part of the community is they gave you a green stone, which I have. It's all rackety and all the tassels have fallen off. But I walked into the church. The church was in their local language in North Sulawesi. And I was going to preach in English. So I'd written a short version where I'd marked in pauses where the interpreter could stop and breathe. I asked them not to interpret the prayers because I firmly believe that the Spirit will guide even when you don't understand. So I was sitting through the service, but suddenly in the service, every so often, up cropped a word that I did understand, but was so out of place. They kept on saying the word Allah. And I knew that the village was a Christian village surrounded by Muslims, but they had worked together. They had built the community center together with a worship room that was used on Friday by the Islamics, on Sunday by the Christians. There was a room with the medical service, and the doctors were the same doctors, where on Sunday the Christians didn't go, but the Muslims did, and on Friday the Christians went, and but they worked together. They built the building together. But to me, that's an Islamic word. That is the way the Quran speaks about God. So at the end of the service, I asked the chaplain, and I said to her, I can't understand. And she says, no, that's an Arab word, not a Muslim word. And much of our vocabulary is influenced by Arab background. So it is the name that Arabs have for God. It's not a Muslim word. And there was I sitting through the church service, about to preach, and saying, that's a Muslim word. What's it doing here? And what I realized then, and I look back now, I had divided them in them and me. And that elder, in two sentences, explained the us, the we, the coming together. And I've never forgotten that. It made a big difference, and it taught me a lesson of what sharing, understanding, and not judging. And since then, each time I hear this passage from Ephesians, I remember what God teaches us, the oneness of the family of God, and who are we to decide who belongs to that family. That is God's gift, God's choice, not mine. One family where we are very different, and I can think of my family with that. Different as we are still one family. Far away as we may be, we are still one family. And thanks be to God for that. The church family, different as we are, thanks be to God for that. Because in my history and my background, I would say if we all felt and thought the same, we would have given up our humanity. We would be under the rulings of somebody who dictated to us what was the way of thinking. And God chose the diversity of creation. Peace to those who are far away. And peace to those who are now near, says the reading. No longer foreigners and aliens, though we still live under those conditions. A few weeks ago, in the Thought for the Week, in the newsletter, I gave the definition and the words of Archbishop Desmond Tutu on that amazing word that is used a lot in Africa, South Africa in particular, Ubuntu. I am because you are. If you aren't, I can't be human. If you aren't around, I am an individual. It is us being together that makes us all human. And that should become the cornerstone of who we are as Christians. That's why I was so horrified when, after the football match last Sunday, the intensity of racism didn't surprise us. Horrific as it was. The bullying. When the highlight of the Sunday night, and if this sounds a bit gross, excuse me, I measured my words down. The highlight of Sunday night on Monday news was this chap who put a flare in his backside and lit it. And he was so proud of it. But he did confess that he'd had a bit much to drink and he'd sniffed four lines of Coke before. And I'm not drinking of the... I'm not talking... But, and that was in all the newspapers. That's his celebration. And that was... What's wrong? Mixed up with all the hatred and all the nastiness. That's not who we are as human beings. That's not who we can be as human beings. And I was in the middle of General Assembly, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, General Assembly of the United Reformed Church. And we had just agreed by unanimous vote, the 235 delegates, that the United Reformed Church was now on a process that goes from being not racist to be anti-racist. It's not good enough to say, I am not racist. The church is now on the process of saying it's anti-racist. Racism will not be tolerated. In the light of the reading today, the language of racism, of sexism, of discrimination, and all other isms that we can think of is totally unacceptable. And no matter who uses it, we have to have a voice that makes a difference in the world. We are all part of that new reality, even when before we were far off, we are no longer far off. Because in Christ, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. We are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. What a responsibility. But the Spirit brings us together and guides us through it. This then has to be our calling. This is the way to follow. This is the message we share in this world today. No longer far away, no longer them, no longer anything that diminishes life. A new creation where near and far meet together. And where God lives by the Spirit. That's how we celebrate communion. That's how we get up every morning. That's how we live. Not looking only for what we agree with, but being challenged very often by what we find very difficult. I think the road ahead is an exciting one. It's not going to be easy, but it never has been. And as I said in the prayer, it's light and darkness, hope and despair, joy and sadness, God Creator, sustaining us all. So to him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now we will hear our own soloist with our own organist. And Tom will be singing Lord God of Abraham from Mendelssohn's Elijah. Is that correct? Yes, true. Mark my words, he's going far, this boy. He's going far. He's got to Canterbury already, so imagine. I mean, it's... Thank you very much. Thank you. And God bless you. And what's still to come? We will now dedicate the offering, and at the end of the offering, we will share the words of the grace. The offering plate is at the back of the church for when you come in. And we give you thanks, dear God, for what we have received, for our possessions, our talents, and our time. And that what we give to you may be multiplied to serve the world, to let the world know that we are together building something new, that you have called the kingdom. And that our offering, with what we are the bricks with which this kingdom is built. To you be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Wally will now lead us in the prayers that Reverend Roy Lowes has prepared for our Sunday service today.
Let us pray. God has created a world where life is fragile. What he seems to show us in Jesus is that he wants us to own our vulnerability and share with all life in our common fragility. God wants us to do this rather than build for ourselves worldly success or power or security, which will inevitably harm to the detriment of others. Where there are winners, there are losers. This being the case, perhaps that football result last Saturday, when England lost on penalties, brought those who were caught up in the Euros a humbling, which prevented hubris and gave us a sense of godly perspective. In the same way, perhaps, the pandemic has done likewise, brought us to our fragility, in this case, by a virus, which reminds us of our humanity, not just in terms of how we defeat the virus, but more in terms of how we engage with our vulnerability and the vulnerability of our fellow humanity. So, following Christ's model, we pray that we might be prepared as a country, as individuals, as families, as communities, to remain more vulnerable than the culture we live in tends to think is sensible. This to support others in their fragility. We pray that we might share and not hoard, might build back better in a way that is significant and not just window dressing, might build back better in a way that costs those of us who are more secure. Levelling up might mean levelling down for some, for the sake of all. We pray that this government, despite its track record on international aid, might be brave enough to ask us to do that, and that people might be brave and moral enough to support the government in it. We pray for all those whose vulnerability is greater than it should be, because of the security and power of others. We remember, as one example, those who through COVID have experienced an increase in household debt. It is a problem that the lockdown has made much worse. 11 million people in the UK have taken on around £25 billion in debt during the pandemic. The effects of lockdown have been grotesquely unequal, with those already struggling being forced to take on debt, while the more affluent were able to pay off debt and save. So we pray for the success of the Reset the Debt campaign, which is asking for the government to set up a fund to pay off the debts unavoidably racked up by some low-income families during the pandemic. And we pray for those whose vulnerability is being made worse than it should be by climate change. We pray for a shared focus in asserting that the global response to the climate crisis be rooted in justice and human rights, with proper support for those who have lost loved ones, livelihoods, homes, cultures, traditions, and habitats. Again, this means the more secure becoming more vulnerable so that the fragile can be better supported. We pray that this might be faced, for this is how Jesus lived and died, being vulnerable for the better support of the fragile, challenging those with power and status who support the status quo. Of all people, we Christians should lead, challenge, and encourage society against all common sense to take on more weakness and more fragility so that others may have what they need, that people might experience life before death, and that the last might be helped to flourish. We pray that this may be so. Amen.
Thank you, Wally. This is the table, not of the church, but of the Lord. It is to be made ready for those who love him and who want to love him more. So come, you who have much faith and you who have little. You who have been here before and you who have not been here for a long time. You who have tried to follow and you who have failed, come, not because it is I who invite you, it is our Lord. It is his will that those who want him should meet him here. Among friends gathered round the table, Jesus took bread, and having broken it, he said, "This is my body that is broken for you." And afterwards, he took the cup and said, "This is the new relationship with God, made possible because of my death. Take this, all of you, and remember me." Please, as you have in other opportunities, take both a cup with the bread and a cup with the wine, and then leave them on the table in front of you. Have them there for the words that we will share to all have together. the bread broken for us to make us whole, we eat in memory of him. The cup of the new covenant, shed for many for the forgiveness of sins, we drink in memory of him. Not an easy peace, not an insignificant peace, not a half-hearted peace, but the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ is with us now. Amen. Our closing hymn, Forever with the Lord, Amen, so let it be. Jesus Christ, you have put your life into our hands. Now we put our lives into yours. Take us renew us, remake us. What we have been is past. What we shall be through you still awaits us. Lead us on, take us with you, and the blessing of God, Creator, Sustainer, and Spirit of newness, be with us and God's people everywhere. Amen. Sounded fun.
I never played it before until the other day. I thought it was quite good.
It was, yes, yes. Especially as the choir in the last hymn kind of went on.
Yes. Well, I went on
as well today. Great, there we are. We just wanted to give you a gist of what's been happening because we haven't had a church meeting for quite some time, and some of the latest decisions are important that the congregation know. When we do have our next or the first church meeting, these will be formally ratified. But just to let you know that Steve Brain has become the new church secretary. That's if the church meeting approves it. The argument being, if the church meeting doesn't approve it, who proposes that it's not accepted automatically becomes the new church secretary. So think well before you decide. But he has been church secretary before, as you probably all know. So thank you, Steve, for that. But we just wanted you to know, if things start, you see different names. We can't thank David Leadbeater enough for his time and his extended time in this. And thank you all. Thank you very much. A clappy day today, there we are. The United Reformed Church, through the Synod Moderators, has issued a new document which is called New Freedom, Same Responsibility. And the secret is in the name. Basically, as from tomorrow, a few things will be changing in the country. And they have suggested, and the elders have accepted these suggestions, that we will still keep masks in services because we think that after 18 months to drop everything in 10 seconds is not wise, particularly as our Prime Minister and Chancellor of the Exchequer are doing something different and our Health Secretary has got COVID, so it hasn't gone. It hasn't gone. The social distancing will be there. For health and security reasons, the cushions won't be going down yet, but if you do need one, some buffer zone, please bring your own and you can take it home with you afterwards for obvious reasons. What as from next Sunday will no longer be adamantly illegal is that, oh yes, it has been happening, is that you will be able to sing softly behind your masks when the hymns are on. So anything that's happened before today wasn't officially ticking the box. As from next Sunday, you're allowed to. Now, if it gets to be a sort of hallelujah chorus with the tabernacle, no. But yes, feel free to, and that's in the church documents. And we're going slowly. We'll see what's happening. We expect in September, when we have the next elders meeting, then to be able to adapt things, see how things are going. But it's basically, we do still have a responsibility to you all, to each other, and to the wider community. So we don't think that running wild is the best thing. I'd love to have seen it, but no, not for the moment. You're going to have to wait to run wild around the garden. But look after yourselves, look after others, and feel secure, which is not very different from what has happened so far. But people were asking questions. I know people want to be able to sing. You will be able to sing a little bit louder than you have been in the last few Sundays, but not as loud as you were. And probably, as Jeff has said, after the August, considering that next Sunday is the last Sunday in July, August would be the natural recess of many activities. Choir will be seeing what can be done in the new session that we begin in September, as will be the hirings in the church with the guidelines that are taking. The elders still are the trustees and are responsible for this.
I will just say that I have chosen three very well-known hymns for next Sunday morning as I'm taking it, but they are like singing them under their mass choir.
Yes, yes. So they will be CDs in two cases at least, and so yes, you'll have a choir guiding you in the singing and you can be able to sing. Thank you very much. I think that, yes.
Can I just ask if the elders have come to any conclusion about letting the premises out
again? We have talked about it. There are two groups beginning to meet. There will be no two groups meeting at the same time nearby. And if they do, one will be through the church entrance and the other will be through the atrium. I think it's, please guide me, help me. One is the badminton group, I believe, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes. And the other one? Drama. And then slowly, but then most of the groups would now be disappearing for August, but in September, yes, they will start meeting. And Sam is in constant communication with the groups dealing with this. And as from tomorrow, we've got to arrange with the elders a meeting with the Romanian church to see what they would like and what we can offer. But it is that time of the month where lots of the things would have stopped anyway. And I know of families that are planning to go away on holiday, so they won't be happening. But in September, when things resume, we hope to resume as well. Yes? That initially, until September, we are suggesting the distance for people, and we will keep the tape in place. But we will be reviewing things as the numbers and the guidelines of the government come out on what is happening and what is not happening. But we don't want everybody to sit on everybody's lap immediately, because we don't think that would be wise.
And the services are still going out on the website?
The services will still go on the website. There will be a reflection sent out and the order of service will be written, because that is in the church guidelines, neither hymn books nor Bibles are to be put out yet. It's not the best of things, but we're not living in the best of circumstances and in the world, and please avoid long COVID if you can. I think that is all, is it not? Thank you very much, and behind me, the new church secretary.
Sorry, are you a church? Yes, okay. And those